We serve a mighty, mighty Savior. And it amazes me that this world, with what we see from creation, this world, I mean, we've got what's starting up. We finished 4 preseason games with the Seahawks. We haven't had too many injuries. I don't like 4 games. It's too much time for injury to take place, but that's just me. But we can get so excited over football, and I do. I'm not saying we shouldn't get excited over football. I love getting excited over football. But how much more should our hearts swell up with joy because of our loving God? The God of all creation knows us. I mean, think about that. He knows you, good and bad. Everything. And he knows you better than you know yourself. And he loves you. And you are his. You are his. Guys, that should just, it should just bring this warmth inside of us, you know. And yet we live in a world that's this amazing, but it's broken, isn't it? In all of its beauty, in all of its grandeur, it's broken. It's broken. There's sin in the world. There's junk in the world. There's things happening. And so what? How do we sometimes try and deal with that? Sometimes we try and figure out, how do I really make it so that I can experience satisfaction here and now? You know, we desire and we try and create pockets in this broken world to where, man, this is going well and I'm good here. And we want to be satisfied in this life. How many songs are written about not finding satisfaction yet? I can't get no. Comes to mind, doesn't it? Satisfaction. We want satisfaction. We want to be satisfied. But in this broken world, there's no satisfaction. And here's the reality. There's not going to be satisfaction. Now, we can be satisfied in Christ. But in the world, there is no satisfaction. It wasn't built that way. 2 Corinthians 5 says this. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. That's one of the things I wanted to do, but I couldn't figure out where I was going to fit it because my tent, I've got one tent. I was going to have a tent up here. And I looked at the dimensions. It's a gigantic tent, so there wouldn't be any room for any of the instruments. This world is a tent. We're camping right now. It's hard to be fully satisfied when you're camping, right? What do you not have when you go camping? Everything you normally have. Everything you want and need. A tap that you turn. Now, Julie, I was feeling pretty sick last night. And starting to get a temperature and was praying and Lord, please don't let me get sick. And went to bed just feeling lousy. And I woke up and I felt great. I should have prayed for my wife too, because now she's sick and I feel great. But my honey is so tough. She can do anything out on the mission field. But for some reason, when she thinks of camping, she thinks of a camper. I just want to say one thing to that. Not camping. That is not camping. If you can turn water on, that is not camping. Camping is when you take a tent and some pans and maybe some butter and salt and you go into the woods, and if you catch something, you eat. And if you don't catch fish, you don't. That's camping. All right. Now I know some of you disagree. I know I lost some. By the way, that's Matthew 50:50. It's not really the word of God. So just let me clarify that. All right. Oh, my goodness. Here's something I want to say as we get ready for the scripture that we're going through. We're continuing on in the book of James. God doesn't want you to be satisfied with life here and now. God doesn't want you to be satisfied with life as it is now. It's not meant to be satisfying fully, completely. Let's read from the scriptures here. You know what? I want to go to the scripture, James 5, 1 through 6. And as we get ready to jump in here, I want you guys to remember that these are encouraging words. As we go through this, some of you are going to say, what in the world? What does he mean by encouraging? This is what I mean. Let's continue together here. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. I told you it was encouraging. Your riches have rotted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver has corroded and their corrosion will be evidence against you. And you will eat your flesh like fire. You have laid up treasures in the last days. Behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you. And the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the righteous person. He does not resist you. Isn't that encouraging? How can that be encouraging? Well, first of all, who is James writing to? We know in the first part of the first chapter that James was writing to the 12 tribes of Israel that were scattered. See, when the church started and then there started to be the persecution of the church, the 12 tribes, they scattered. And they're being called to come back and they're being called. And so he's talking to a people that they've been mistreated by the very people that the Word of God is talking about right here. Things have been said, things have been done, and they've been so mistreated. And it's interesting that it even says in verse 5, you have lived on the earth in luxury and self-indulgence. The word for self-indulgence there is you've lived delicately. You've become soft. You've been given so much and you're just there. And you've gotten there by dishonest gain. And he's talking to the people who have come against the people of God. Now, guys, one of the things that's important to remember is we are never, ever, ever to take joy or pleasure in God's wrath coming against the people who haven't received him. It needs to break our hearts because that is us apart from the grace of God. But there's also a joy in the midst of suffering, in the midst of trial. There's a joy that we can have while we're suffering. Because the things that others do to us, the things of this world that are broken, that keep coming at us, don't need to control our joy, our peace, our pleasure. You can be in the worst of circumstances and experience the blessings of God. So often we pray, Lord, take this pain, take this junk, take it out of my life. But sometimes the very trial, the struggle, is the blessing. Sometimes our prayer needs to change. When we were missionaries in Uganda and a woman who was suffering so unbelievably so, she was dying slowly of going from just shrinking. She had a disease where she just couldn't keep weight on and she just kept going to bone and skin until she died. And it had been years and she couldn't walk, she couldn't. And I prayed with her and her prayer was, Lord, let me suffer well. And it changed my prayer life and it changed my life. Because I was Missionary Matthew in Uganda, you know. I'm going to go there. I'm going to save the world. I'm going to do all these things, great things for God. And my faith was that big in comparison to this woman. Because when the trials came, God, take these trials away. And here's this woman. God, let me suffer well. Let me suffer in a way that brings honor and glory to your name. And it rocked me. And it caused me to struggle through it, to go into that cocoon and question and ask God, what's going on? How did I get this so wrong? How am I only looking for my blessing here in a broken world when I want to see your glory seen? I want to see you encouraged. Guys, this was meant to be an encouraging scripture for these 12 tribes that had been scattered. Jesus is coming back and he's going to make things right. That's where our comfort is. We don't have to rest in what we can do, what we can build. We don't have to create our towers of Babel, all our own separate little towers, and say, look at my tower's better than your tower. Man, your tower is looking a little shabby, a little short. Sorry for you. We don't have to build the things of this world. Now, are we called to be a blessing to? Yes, absolutely. Are we called to work hard? Yes. But our pleasure, our hope, our future is not in this. Our future is in the Lord. And guys, when the trials and the struggles come, that's that hope that we have. It's what allows those who are suffering greatly to have a sparkle in their eye. I won't say who, because I didn't talk to you beforehand. I won't even go give the specifics. But one of you, I'm thinking specifically of, has so encouraged me because of what you're going through and how you're trusting God is encouraging my faith. And you've been on my heart. I've been praying for you this week, and I just... It's been encouraging to me. When we see people that we love going through things and they have the joy of the Lord in the midst of the suffering and the struggle, something happens to us. Something, our spirit is moved inside of us. And we say, that's God working. That's once again showing that God is real. And here... the scripture is talking, and the scripture is saying to those who are coming against God's people, who are coming against them, he's saying, you know what? Your stuff, it's testifying against you. You know, in this world, if we just live for our own comfort, the very things that we build up. Now, I realize this is not a popular message in today's world, which says, so much of the church even has accepted, hey, God wants you to be rich. God wants you to be loaded. Me too. And I'm the pastor. And so if you load my pockets, maybe God will load yours. That's a lie. From the pit of hell. God wants you to be rich in Christ. God wants you to be full. And some of you will have physical blessings. Some of you won't. Some of you will have physical blessings for a while and then you won't. Some of you won't and then you will. And we need to live together and help each other out and be loving with each other. But how shocking is it to hear that you have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter? What's he saying? You know what? The slaughter's coming and you're just getting fat and happy for the slaughter. You're getting all of the world in you. And it's a reminder to those who don't know God. It's saying, wake up. A time is coming when we're going to have to be before our Lord, all of us. And my prayer is not that I take pleasure in those who have persecuted me and say, ha, the day is coming. The slaughter's coming. No, that's not our place. We're not called to judge. Heart needs to break for people who don't know Jesus. Because you know what it was like before faith. Many of you know what it was like before faith. And having a world that was broken and having no hope. And then coming to that place where now you have hope. Now there's purpose. Now there's pleasure even in the stuff that's going wrong. Because you see God's hand at work. 7 years ago, I was in Thailand. And I was absolutely disgusted with a few of pastors from another church that I was at. We went to Thailand to encourage some missionaries there and speak and share. And I'll never forget when we were in the city. And when we came out and there were these 10, 12, 14-year-old girls everywhere by the hundreds. Hundreds, 100 here, you go to the next shop, 100 here. And it's just as we're going out to try and get some dinner before we go to bed that night so we can then go later out into the villages. And they're children, and they're prostitutes. They're being forced into this life. I remember getting so angry, and I would go up to the men. I wanted somebody. I wanted these men. They were, most of them were Western men. And they were there, and they were coming and then leaving with one, two of these girls. And I went up to one after the other, and I just got right in their face. And I wanted them to know that someone knew that what they were doing and that it was wrong. And I was loud. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? What are you doing? And it broke my heart. We have a broken world. There's more slaves now in the world than in history. Slavery isn't dead. It's not gone. There's over 30 million people in slavery in the world today. More than. It's alive and well and thriving. And even in our own backyard, coming in the ports of Seattle, are young girls and boys being snuck in for the sex slave trade. Happening today. It'll happen tomorrow. We live in a broken world, guys. And the church needs to stand up and get involved and find ways to bring blessing and hope. Get involved personally, not just give money. Spend time and effort getting involved. But we also have to remember this. Our ultimate hope is in the Lord. The only thing that can bring comfort when you're in the midst of the junk is God and relationship with Him and being whole in Him while you're broken in the broken world. Come, Lord Jesus. That needs to be our call. So often we look at things and we think, well, you know what? This is what one of the things I think. Well, first I want to have grandkids. I want to see my kids grow up a little more, get married, have kids, and I want to, but is that better than God coming back? Not even close. Even the good things of this world pale in comparison to Jesus coming back. That's our hope. That's our pleasure. That's where we focus. When we focus on this world and our part of it, me and mine, now whatever comes against me and mine is now my enemy, is now against me, because this is my hope. And I've created a little world for myself over here. Man. Romans 2, 4 and 5 says, or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads towards repentance? Guys, we need to know that God is patient with us. But he's patient and he's giving and he's waiting so that it will lead towards repentance. We don't have all day. There's going to be a time where the Lord comes back, and it may be soon. It may be 1,000 years from now, but it may be tomorrow. We don't know. But what if we live as though it's today or tomorrow? What if our lives start reflecting that we don't have a lot of time? Back to James. James 5, 7. I love what it changes gears here. It says, be patient. Be patient. Be patient. Man. Therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord, see how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, that you may not be judged. So that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. So all these people, all these men that I saw with these young girls, be patient. Really? In this broken world, when we see sin, what does he say? What does he mean, be patient? Be patient with those who are doing evil. You know what? We've done evil. Here's what it means. It's not my position to bring justice to the world. Because I'm a broken judge. I was never called to be the judge. It's up to me to do what God has called me to do what is right, to understand that my struggle is not against flesh and blood. We're not against each other. We're not against those who don't know him. That's why sometimes when you see someone in our community get shot and then a family member of the one who's lost go and reach out to the family or to the person who shot their child, that's of the Lord. Because they get this. They understand that it's not the person. We need to be patient in love. Guys, I got to tell you, I don't do this well. I see injustice. You know what I want to do? I want to be the superhero. I want to make it right here and now. Can't remember if I've shared this with you or not, but not too long ago, there was a gentleman up at the grocery store. And he was with his girlfriend, and he was mistreating her in the parking lot. And he pushed her, and he was yelling at her. And instantly, I got between them, and I said, stop. You can't treat her like that. And he took his coat, and he opened it, and he had his gun. And he went to put his hand on his gun, and I put my hand on his gun first. And I looked at him and I said, now, which of us is in a worse situation? You see, my natural reaction was to make it right in my strength. We're at a problem place here, aren't we? I stopped. I said, this is not good. I just, a quick prayer, Lord, I need your leading here. And God gave me some words, and it was, as I still had my hand on his gun, I said, would you want someone treating your mother that way? And his head went down. I said, listen, I don't want trouble. I'm a pastor just up the road, Community Bible Fellowship, but you know you're treating her wrong. It's not right. It's not right. His head went down. We talked. Talked some more.
few more words and let them know when our church service was. And... See, I started in my strength and it was going bad quick. Because when it's Matthew's justice, it's going to be fisticuffs. And when we bring God into it, God redeems a broken situation. He makes a way where there's no way. We need to be patient with the Lord. We need to trust that He will do what we can't do. It's hard to trust God. Guys, every single time, I promise you one thing, it'll be hard to trust God. Because there will be a way for you to deal with it in your strength and in your way. In marriage, in relationships, in friendships, at work, at church, there will be a way for you to be justified. But then just in case we think that, well, this is just for Christians and how we treat those outside the church. It says then in verse 8, you also be patient. Establish your heart. For the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against who? Against one another either, brothers. So that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. Don't turn against each other because of the evil, because of the junk. Not only are we to love those and love them in their sin. Guys, those outside the church, it's not our responsibility to get their heads right so they come to Jesus. That's not our role. It's not our job. It's not our job to convince anyone into the kingdom. It's our job to love those who are broken and share the gospel with them. We're called to get the ground ready, to plant the seed, to water. God makes it grow. God is the one who brings salvation, not Matthew, not you. We're not the ones who bring salvation. It's not up to us. It's not up to us being clever. All we're called is to be ambassadors and point at the one that we represent. And then as we're doing that, we need to be careful because we do things differently. And sometimes we step on each other's toes in trying to do good things. And we need to not turn against each other. We need to be like that farmer who is patient. God's bringing a harvest. It's His work. He's called us to be His ambassadors. And to just not do, look at me and God in me, but look at God. Discipleship is not making people like us. Discipleship is leading people to Jesus. Because if I lead them to me and how I deal with problems, I'm just giving them more problems. Because apart from the Lord, I got nothing to give away. But Christ in me? Are you kidding me? He healed me. Not only did He heal me, He redeemed my junk. So now the very stuff that was supposed to destroy me is now used for the glory of God. It's not just forgiven, it's redeemed. It's now what God uses to powerfully move through His Holy Spirit. And all the times that I failed are times that I get to point and say, God is good. All the things that should have broken me are now the things that I get to say, and they didn't because God is greater than that. It's no longer the open wound on us that's just oozing. You ever seen a wound that's infected? It's disgusting. It is. It's gross. One of the I don't do well in those situations. And when we were in Uganda for 6 years, that, man, that was tough, dealing with all the infections and stuff. And whoa. When we're not forgiving, those are infections. We're walking around with open wounds that are festering. And we're not called to lie to ourselves and forget. What we're called to is that God takes the festering wound, makes it into a scar that's healed completely. When we see the scar, we don't say, that's when my dad, that's when this happened, that's when that happened, that's when she, that's when he. We look at the scar and we say, that's when God healed me. And it's no longer an open wound. I'm whole again in Christ Jesus. We need to be patient for that, don't we? We need to be patient. We need to trust God. Our hope needs to be in what's coming, not what we can bring now. Guys, he's coming back, and it's good news. That's going to be greater than any of the great things that you've got ahead of you that you're looking forward to, even the first Seahawk game coming up. Man, better. Even if you've got really good seats in the stadium, that's pretty good. Don't get me wrong. Nothing in comparison. But do you believe it? More importantly, do you know it? Do you know it? Are you experiencing it? Are you enjoying God now? Let's enjoy him together. Let's close in prayer. God, man, sometimes we look at all the blessings that this world has to offer, and we can think about what we don't have, and our hearts and minds are in the wrong place. We have in you, through faith, in the truth of your word, of who you are, we have more than anything that this tenting time has to offer. Lord, I just pray that our hearts would not desire crumbs off the table when you've got a bounty for us. Get us up off the floor licking the crumbs. Forgive us, Lord, for being satisfied with so little rather than being satisfied only in you. Lord, we want to take pleasure in what you bring because of who you are. We want to find our identity in you and not in the things that we do. Father, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would take this word and just challenge us with it. Lord, I pray that for some it wouldn't be, oh, that was the message, now let's go on. Lord, I pray that where we need to struggle through this word, Lord, we would struggle. Where we need to be humbled before you, we would be humbled. Where we need to surrender areas of our lives, Lord, we would be willing to surrender. Father, do a mighty work in us because of the truth of your word. Father, thank you for it. We ask for your will to be done. Make us a blessing in the lives of the people because of who you are in us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the gift of salvation. We are so grateful. We love you. We want to love you back in our lives, in lives of obedience. For your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, guys.